Hey Trailblazers, this is Jason, your host of the Trailblazing Texas podcast. Before we jump into our latest episode, I've got some incredible news for you. Are you gearing up for your next big hike or backpacking trip? Well, we at Trailblazing Texas podcast have partnered up with Trekker Joe's, the ultimate Texas outfitter, to bring you something I feel absolutely special. Listeners, you of the Trailblazing Texas podcast can now get a one-time 15% off their gear purchases at Trekker Joe's. That's right. Whether you're a first-time customer at Trekker Joe's or a repeat customer like me, you can save big and hit the trails well-prepared. So upon checkout, use code TTP15 to claim your 15% discount and, in the process, support an amazing local Texas business. So happy trails, and don't forget to tell your hiking buddies. Now on with the episode. Welcome to the Trailblazing Texas podcast, where we embark on a journey through our diverse Texas landscapes and breathtaking trails while always engaging with our amazing Texas hiking community. So settle in, tighten up those bootlaces, and get ready for the thrilling tales awaiting for you on this episode.
And we were just like miserable. And so we went to that house and we were like, what are we going to do? So we were like, let's go knock on the door and see if we can on the porch so we could call Charlotte. Charlotte was our trail angel, and she was transferring us, shuttling us from the beginning to the end and whatnot on that trip. And so let's call Charlotte and see if she'll pick us up. And, you know, she has those Airbnbs. I was like, maybe we'll just go stay in the Airbnb until the rain lets up and then we can start again tomorrow. Well, we got to the porch. We're knocking. No one's home. We call Charlotte. She's like, yeah, I'm going to be like an hour because she was going to pick someone else up. And she's like, you can definitely stay in the trailer tonight. We're like, cool. Meanwhile, we're sitting there freezing. So TMI, but we all like stripped down
on the porch. Hold on. Not the back porch of that house, the front porch. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, like we're covering each other up with like sleeping pads and our ponchos and stuff, like, but we're trying to change out of our wet clothes and put dry clothes on. So yeah, three of us are like one at a time, pretty much naked on these people's front porch. And then we realize, oh, there's cameras.
I was about to say, in the age of Ring cameras and, you know.
Yeah. They never were home, but anyway, we wrote them a thank you letter later for letting us use the porch. But so eventually Charlotte came and got us and went to her trailer, got warm, got fed. And we're looking at the next days and we're like, you know, it said rain, and it just wasn't going to dry out. And so we ended up quitting. And unfortunately, we were super sad about it, but we ended up quitting. And then in October of that same year, one of those two girls and myself went back. And that's when we hiked all of it, but the last like 10 or 11 miles. And Charlotte was also our shuttle on that trip.
Did she remember y'all?
Yeah, she remembers. She's like, wait a minute, aren't y'all those porch ladies? So that's how we got our trail name. So porch lady one, porch lady. Two, and three.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that gentleman in that house, we were through hiking and we crossed the little dam, and that's slippery. If you catch it on the wrong day, you better be careful. And that neighbor, like his garage door was open, so that's why we crossed the dam and knocked at his house. He didn't answer. So we went back and I knocked at that gentleman's house and he's like, absolutely. He goes, I built a special water spigot just for through hikers. So he took us around the back and there was an area just for people hiking to get water. I bought him a $25 Starbucks gift card and card, and I still have it today. Like I haven't been back in that section and I just forgot about it. And when you started talking about the house, I'm like, I still have that card.
That's really cool that he did that. That goes back to us talking about just how, you know, gracious our through hiking community is. And he's probably, I wonder if he's a hiker.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, currently, no, he's not a hiker, but maybe in his, you know, when he was younger, could be. He spent money and had a setup just for people hiking the Lone Star Hiking Trail that would be able to access water. So what are your favorite sections of the trail?
Yeah, I like around, I think it's Big Woods. That's mm-hmm. my, like, it just kind of opens up and it's nice and airy and you have the big, I think that's where the magnolia trees are mostly, aren't they? That's one of my favorite areas. And then there's also around a lake at like mile 16 or so, I think, where it gets, where
you have six.
And all that in there.
Yeah, I think that's really cool. Of course, Trailhead 6 dumping to Lake Conroe is pretty epic, especially if you can catch it right before sunrise. Because the sun rises in that section where, you know, looking out towards the lake or across the lake. I think one of my also favorite sections is, you know, the 4 notch loop. So you hit Trailhead 8, you're hiking on the Lone Star Hiking Trail, and then you take a left pretty soon when you start hiking and you get on the 4 notch, the actual loop part. And I don't remember what Forest Service road it is, you know, pretty probably within the first 25 minutes of your hike, you hit that Forest Service road and you walk maybe about 200 yards and it's almost like you come to this parking lot and then you hit the 4 notch to then eventually meet up with the Lone Star Hiking Trail again. And that little section, as far as you can see, when you're on the trail, you have those really, really skinny, skinny, tall pine trees, and you have that beauty berry bush, you know, with the purple things. And, you know, so they're all low and about the same height. And then you have nothing. And then you have the tops of these pine trees, and you can just see for not miles, but for a long way. And you get there in the morning when the sun's kind of like shooting through the pine.
I love that. We've had some beautiful scenery, and the lake is awesome. We spent a long break at the lake one day on our hike, where we just, you know, swam a little bit to cool down and sat there and just watched the water.
So what is your opinion, since you've been on it a few times, about, and I think we've touched on it, about the trail maintenance and the signage, you know, for anybody new that wanted to try out the trail, you know, the confidence that the trail is going to be pretty open and you'll be able to find your way.
Yeah, 100%. It's very well marked. It's very well maintained. Even when there are storms and things that have tree fall, it's cleaned up fairly quickly. So I don't think the trail has changed too much in like route, because I know in like some places they do have to reroute or, you know, because of erosion or tree fall or anything like that. But this trail stays very well marked and very well taken care of. So I think if I were to meet someone that's, oh, I'm going on my first hike on this trail, I would 100% be like, yeah, you got this. It's, you know, I don't think you can't get lost on it too. I think it would be hard to get lost on that trail.
You know, and kind of just talking about the trail maintenance and signage and stuff, I had Melanie on, I guess, about 2 episodes ago, and she is, well, she's, I think, kind of like leading the creation of a new foundation that's part of the Lone Star Hiking Trail Club, where they go out to businesses and try to get funding and stuff to support some of the activities of the trail. And one of the big pushes that I think they're going for is putting a bridge over the San Jacinto River.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, that's, if you are a hiker, there is a river that you are going to have to cross. And if there are no trees down crossing it, you know, hopefully you don't swim it, because I don't know how safe that would be, but you're trekking maybe knee deep water across this river. But yeah, they've done, I think, environmental impact studies and stuff. And so I don't know how close they are to finalizing something, but I do know that that's part of their plan for improvements and stuff for the trail.
Yeah, that'd be really, really beneficial to that area. Maybe it was somebody you interviewed, or maybe that y'all were talking. No, it was you and Melanie talking about someone y'all interviewed swimming it, that she had come from another country or state.
So that's Kim. And in fact, we've been messaging today that she's coming on the podcast. I had sent her questions, you know, to come on the podcast, and we got to talking because she used my caches in January. Yeah, she's just driving through Texas to go to Arizona to through hike the Arizona Trail. Oh, no, you know, Texas has a long trail. Giggle, giggle. Okay, it's only 96 miles. Okay, I'll do that in a day. She used my caches, but, you know, that's when we had that massive flooding and stuff and the rain, and she didn't care. And I asked her, I'm like, how did you get across to San Jacinto? And I think she even posted, you could Google Kim on the Lone Star Hiking Trail, and there's pictures. Like, she goes, I just swam across it.
What? Have there been alligators in there?
I don't know. You can't, it's murky. You can't see. And with that much rain, the water had to be high, you know, and it's probably 10, 11, 12 feet. You know, and she just swam across it, and she didn't think anything of it. But yeah, so
be like so scared all my stuff would be wet.
Oh, her stuff was wet, and she just dried it out. Oh, she's a beast, and yeah, and she right after she did the AT, she bought a one-way ticket. I don't remember her first stop, but she traveled, she circled the world hiking.
Oh wow!
And now, I don't remember what she just hiked, but she's in Amarillo right now, just chilling. And so she reached out to me, hey, you still want to do the podcast? And I'm like, heck yeah. So after this, I will, I told her after, you know, I'm going to record this one, and then I'll, you know, look over the questions, make any adjustments, and we will schedule hopefully the next week, you know, before she gets going again. Cause yeah, she destroys trails. So outside of the raccoons, any other wildlife experiences that you had on the Lone Star Hiking Trail?
On the Lone Star, let's see, snakes. I have stepped over on or had one crawl across my foot on like every time I've been on that trail.
What so snake time, crawl across yeah, your foot?
A coral snake.
Mm.
Yeah, a coral snake. But I was just like, well, hi. I mean, it scared me for a bit. I'm not really afraid of snakes. If I know they're there, they don't really scare me. But that one kind of snuck up on me as I was crossing. And yeah, he just slithered right across my foot. And I was like, oh, hi. But, you know, the coral snakes, yeah, they're venomous, or is it poisonous? One of those. But they have such small teeth that they're not going to get you.
Yeah.
A rattler or a moccasin, different story.
Yeah.
And I did over a moccasin, a baby. That's when I was hiking with Joe one time, and he said, Robin, you just stepped over a snake. And I was like, what? Yeah, I didn't even see it, because those guys can camouflage so well. And then another time I came across a rattler that was in front of us. And, you know, most of the time, if you just stand still and let them go on their way, they'll go on their way. And I've seen lots of the green little racers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love those. They're so pretty. But, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I think this hiking season, I've been out every weekend since the first weekend of September, and I'm batting 1,000 with snakes. And usually I'm about 75%, running into these suckers. Yeah, but I have every time I see one, I have a goal is to position myself where I can touch its tail. So, I let them I'll follow them where they until they get into a log or something, you know, where just a little bit of it's hanging out, and then I touch it and then I scream and run one way and then it shoots off that way. It's just a fun calculation that I do, and I think I'm like at 67 or 64% success rate. So not all the time.
Okay, what kind of snakes are you touching? Any and all?
Yeah, anything that I come across that I can find a way to, in my dumb mind, safely do it. And yeah, should I do it? No, I should just leave them alone. I don't bother them usually, except for that. But I should probably just let them be. But it's just something that I started.
It's another form of entertaining yourself on trail.
Absolutely. And, sometimes even in the quads, it's cold and a snake gets caught out. So it's slow and, not as peppy as they normally are. So it's easy access, easy prey, easy prey for the boop. So if you look at the Lone Star hiking trail, just kind of in general, is there anything that, you've been out there a few times that you think they can improve on?
Improve on. Maybe some of those sections where it gets super tunnely and narrow. Yeah. I mean, and I hate that it would have to be widened because then you're, getting into cutting down more trees or more native plants or whatever. But sometimes those, especially and when it's warmer, can get sweltering and claustrophobic in there for me. So that's just a personal preference though, that I think that maybe those could be a little more open.
And I don't think those areas, they do a lot of control burning out there. And if you look at those tunnels, you're like the amount of pine needles and stuff that have caked up, mm-hmm. When these trees are hanging over the trail, they couldn't have had a control burn in probably 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
Light that sucker up.
Well, I kind of like the overhanging and with the moss that's hanging down and stuff, but yeah, I like that. But there's certain parts of the trail that are just bushy and thorny on both sides, and just it feels like it's super overgrown and you're just you're just claustrophobic in there to me.
Yeah. Let's say you have a brand new female best friend and she wants to go solo through hike the Lone Star hiking trail. And, you can't go. Joe's not letting you. What advice do you have for her?
Same advice I would give before. Have your map. Have someone know where you are. Plan out your caches. Really study the trail, even though it's well marked and well maintained. I still have a map. I have a printout of the entire trail where I will pinpoint okay, night one I'm staying here, night two I'm staying here, night three I'm staying here, especially if it's hunting season, because you have to get to those designated camping areas. And yeah. So that helps me and probably a new hiker to figure out okay, I have to get this many miles in today. So, and then maybe if you haven't hiked that many miles, start training yourself to hike that many miles a day, which I'm not great at. I, like I said before, training schmanning, I just go. So maybe that's not the best advice for me to give. So.
You know how many times I'm laying in bed thinking, okay, tomorrow morning I'm going to, I saved all these videos of mountaineering, strengthening your legs with weights and bending and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, all right, tomorrow morning, I work from home. I'm going to get up there and you know, I have bands. I have whole works. Mm-hmm. You know how many, probably for the last year and a half, almost two or three times a week, I'm like, yep, tomorrow's the day. Tomorrow's the day.
I did the same thing. When I was going to Centennial, Joe's like, you really need to train. Babe, you really have to train. And I'm like, okay, I have like 3 months. And then I'd be like, okay, I have 2 months. Okay, I have a month. Oh, I have a week.
Yeah. Uh-oh, it's tomorrow. So when Joe goes out, does he train?
No.
Exactly.
Not really. He has, in the past, he has, like, walked our neighborhood, you know, for every night for mile, like, he'll go 3 or 5 miles a night or something, but not really, not going out, you know, and going on a trail, and no, he doesn't train either.
All right, so in wrapping up our Lone Star Hiking Trail section, do you have any final stories about your adventures on the trail out? So we heard how you got your trail name.
Yeah.
Anything else that?
The last time I was on that trail, I had taken my baby sister for her birthday. She wanted to try backpacking, wanted to try hiking. So I loaned her all of my gear, and then I used Joe's gear to take her out for a weekend. And once again, we were watching the weather. It was supposed to just be a little downpour and a huge rain and thunderstorm came in, and the wind was just whipping. And I had actually called Joe while we were out on trail. I was like, babe, I was like, this is not looking great. And he was looking it up online about where the storm was settling kind of over us. And he's like, you're going to be fine. Just keep going. And her and I were like back and forth. We turned around. They're like, no, let's just go. And then we turned around and started going. And they're like, wait, maybe we shouldn't. And then maybe we should. But like I said, it was pouring down. The wind was whipping. And have you ever seen those pine trees? Like when it's windy like that, they are bending over. Well, one, we were going, and I said, I heard a thunderbolt and lightning, and I said, stay still, don't move. And all of a sudden, one of those big pine trees just, I mean, broke at the probably like 25 yards in front of us, and then crashed into another tree and broke down and down. And we're like, okay. But we continued on to our camp, and then set up camp in like a mud hole. It rained all night, and then we tried to go. We went a few miles the next day, and then she was like, I think I'm done. But the goal was to get like 20 miles in on her first time hiking, and I think we got like 10. So, but yeah, that was pretty scary watching that huge tree fall down right in front of you.
Yeah, I mean, you get out there in a thunderstorm or a windstorm, there's a potential you're in trouble. I've had, and it wasn't even, I think it was after a big storm. I think one happened probably about maybe 30 yards. I was walking by and a tree popped, sounded like a gun. And thank goodness, you know, it wasn't a big tree and it didn't fall towards me, but I got to see it pop and then fall. And then one, it was at the Trailhead 8, the Four Notch Loop. I had just finished, and this massive explosion, it sounded like, and that, you know, a tree popped and it came down and I couldn't see it. It was off, you know, from me, but you could tell it took out a bunch of trees. And I'm like, geez, that's, you know, and what was kind of scary for me is I was going counterclockwise, and about the halfway point, another group was going clockwise. And so kind of the middle area we met past each other, I had finished the area that tree broke in would have been the area that they were walking through. And, you know, when we were kind of about halfway, so we should be finishing in a similar, you know, finishing kind of around the same time. And so that kind of scared me that, you know, I had finished, was sitting by the car, and then that happened, and it was in the direction of you know, that side of the trail. So I was like, oh man. But yeah, you definitely don't want to get out there during, and also like with the rainstorms and stuff, like that trail turns into a lake. So yes. It's just miserable.
Yeah, just chomping. I think we were chomping through like ankle deep water. And I know it can get much worse than that, but even the ankle deep was okay. This is enough.
You get ankle deep water and you can't really see where you're stepping, and then all the roots and stuff, holes. Just turn around and go home. Let's talk about the Eagle Rock Loop.
Okay.
So what is your experience on that trail?
So I soloed that trail last year in November. Yeah, it was kind of my birthday present to myself. So I went up and hiked that one. It was pretty cool. That trail is really beautiful. I made it just in time for like the end of fall colors.
Oh, wow.
So just driving up to it, gorgeous. The whole trail is very beautiful. I did have a lot of fog on it. So when I was hiking up all the mountains, I would get to the view and be like, I can't see anything. And I drove here just for the colors. And I was super bummed. But my last day on trail and my last vista, the heavens opened up and I got to see. It was so amazing. That experience. I had gotten up there and it was still foggy and misty and just kind of gross. And I was super bummed. And there was a little trail off to the side that went out to the vista. And I was like, I'm not even going to try it. I'm not even going to go over there because I'm not going to see anything. And so I kept going. And then a little voice was like, no, turn around and go back. So I turned around and went back. And I'm standing there and I'm like, it's just foggy. I can't see anything. And I stood there a little longer and literally the clouds and the fog just like dispersed. And you could see all the colors, all the view for miles. And I was like, that was such a God moment for me. I was like, oh my gosh, this is like exactly why I came to hike this trail. And thank you.
So can you give the listeners, you know, maybe a small little overview of the trail and really like what drew you to it?
Yeah, so it's a 26-mile loop. And what drew me to it was going to be a different challenge than hiking in Texas. mountainous rivers, so I didn't have to carry water. I could carry all of my food because it was just spent 2 nights. I was planning on 3 nights, but I actually ended up doing 2. So I was able to carry everything with me easily. It's also well marked. So it was simple for me to do on my own. And then Joe and I had talked about hiking it together like the whole prior year, and it just never worked out with like our schedules, and our little one doesn't like to hike as much as we do. And so like, I'm just going to go do it. But yeah, it's a really cool trail. There's like, I think 6 mountains that you have to summit, and 5 of them are pretty much back to back. So you have that challenge, but then it also follows like a river, like all the way around the loop. You have waterfalls, and yeah, it was just a really beautiful loop.
So do you think it's something that you could even day hike?
Oh yeah. There's people that just do it in a day. If I pushed myself, I probably could, but I'm a loosey looker when I'm on the trail. I'm not into, let me get the highest mileage. I like to stop. I like to take it all in. Like I said, I'm very into nature. And so I really enjoy like looking for like the Fibonacci pattern and in flowers and fungus and like the littlest, tiniest details of pine cones and whatever I'm looking at. Sometimes it takes me a little bit because like I just want to enjoy myself. I'm just out there to relax, not see how fast I can go or how far I can go in a day.
Yeah, I know when I get out on the trail, I take a lot of pictures, and I get a lot of ribbing for it because, you know, I'm slow, but, you know, no one's complaining whenever they ask me like, hey, you got the pictures of our trip? I'm like, yeah, Lori and I play a game sometimes. I'll come back from the Lone Star hiking trail and she, I just tell her like, hey, guess how many pictures I took? And, you know, she's like, 70. I'm like, 201.
You've been on it so many times, but you see something different every time, right? Like you notice something different every time that you're out there, because that's the beauty of it. You're never going to see the same thing twice. You know, it's always a different experience, no matter how many times you're on the same trail.
Absolutely. You know, you start to learn the sun patterns, the seasons, and catch, you know, weather windows where you do want it right after a rain, where it's overcast and you know, you want to hit this section. So you really start to learn. I'm not into photography, but I love taking pictures. Like, I don't care about the ISO and whatever, but I love taking pictures. And, you know, I don't know how many times, but I don't know, 10 or 15 times where people have reached out to me, can we use this picture for this or that, or for our Facebook page or for our Instagram, you know? So yeah, the trail offers, and just the Lone Star Hiking Trail, you know, it's, I think I've got it down, you know, for taking pictures and the beauty and stuff. So for the Eagle Rock Loop, what do you think was the most challenging aspect of the hike for you?
All those mountains, like the first of five that you have to climb, pretty much all. So I went counterclockwise. I know that there's a debate, what's the easiest way to go? I ended up going counterclockwise. And so I did all of the, I think I did four of the five in one day. And then the next day I got up and hiked the one that was left on that side, and then finished out my hike with the Albert Pike. That's the last one when you're going that direction. Ended up finishing that one up the second day.
So is it big elevation gains? If you compared it to like the Guadalupe Peak Trail, climbs like that,
I don't think they're quite as steep as that.
Yeah.
But for me, like I said, I really don't train. And so, and I have a little bit of asthma, I have fibromyalgia. So just like that constant up, down, different, you know, it's hard on your feet if you're not used to that stuff, just the different directions your feet are going with the ups and the downs and all that.
Yeah. Great. What about the river crossings? Are there a lot? Because you were saying like you didn't worry about the water carries. And how did you manage that?
Water all over that trail. So I carry a Sawyer, Sawyer sleeve, and a Cenoc or Canoc. I'm not sure how they pronounce it. I carry, and then I carry usually two smart water bottles with me on the front in my. Can I plug Trekker Joe's in my Trekker Joe water bottle sleeve?
So you also use the Trekker Joe's water bottle sleeve holders?
Of course I do. Who else would I use?
They are game changers. And I think I've said it on every episode. And if the listeners don't get it by now, get one. You will thank me later. Two, absolutely.
Yeah, the distribution. I used to carry only one, but then I started with two, and it makes it so much better on the weight distribution of your pack. And then for me, I have like, you know, your shoulders get a little bit irritated for me reaching back behind me, grabbing my water. So they're easy to just have on your chest, so you don't have to reach or ask somebody else to grab your water. Or if you don't have anybody with you, you can't do that. So you have to take the pack off, or it's always falling out. But anyways, so the river crossings, there are several of them on that trail. I think I counted like four or five like major crossings. And then there's like several I don't know, I probably counted 30 or more tiny little creek crossings that were there. So easy to get water. The water's beautiful. It's always running. It's cold. It's clear. So I wasn't ever worried about filtering from them.
And the major ones, would you consider them to be dangerous at all? Or potentially dangerous?
Yeah, potentially dangerous. They weren't when I was there. I think my shin was about as deep as I got in most of the crossings. But yeah, I do know from studying that trail that the water crossings can get high and dangerous, and you are going to not want to be crossing them. So it's really important to know your weather when you're on that trail and if rain's coming. And I know that by studying it also that it can flash flood pretty in the valleys near the creek.
And so how did you manage, like, do you take like extra pairs of socks and change them out when for that type of thing?
Yeah, so I usually carry an extra or two extra pairs of socks with me. I wear ultras, so they dry out pretty quick, but my socks are wool socks, so those also will dry out pretty quickly.
I have like 5 pair of ultras right there.
Yeah. So I was carrying a pair of Deliberate Life Design sandals with me. I don't know if you've heard of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I was changing out my shoes and walking in my sandals across the river. And then I was like, you know what? There's so many water crossings. I'm just going to leave my shoes. It was like so much time changing in and out. And so I was just like, I'm just going to go across in my tennis shoes. So that's what I did. Just have my extra socks for when I get to camp and want to put on dry socks, or during the middle of the day, I like to change out my socks when, like, at lunchtime, air out my feet, put on a new pair of socks.
Have you thought about, I started doing this, and that's the reason why I have so many of the same brand. I also change out my insoles. So I take an extra pair.
Interesting.
Yeah, I take an extra pair of insoles. They don't weigh anything and they don't get overly wet. But, you know, I have noticed that if I don't, you know, I'm putting on dry socks, putting them into the shoe, and whatever, the top layer of the insole is wet. But this is, it helped out a lot for me.
That's a good idea. I'm going to start doing that.
Yeah, but as long as you have the same type of shoe, because I don't know.
Yeah, I always wear the ultra long peaks. That's what I wear. Mm-hmm. I started out with a Merrell, and they just were so heavy. I was like, no way, Jose. So then we tried the lone peak, and I really like them. And I have Flintstone feet anyways, like literally flat feet. So they worked out well for me. I don't need like a lot of arch support or anything.
Yeah.
So Joe just got me the Ultra Temps that I'm trying out. They have a little bit more cushion, but their toe box is a little narrower than the Ultras. So
yeah,
I don't know about these.
And you know, when you're used to something, it takes a while to get used to. But yeah, I have the fours all the way to, I don't know what, the eights or sevens. Yeah. I have them all. And I even have the colors that pop. So like the reds, the yellows.
Yeah, I like the colors of the ultras. They have some nice colors. So you haven't put that many miles on them that you can retire a pair?
Well, so that's a great question. On my fours, they are retired, but so there's a couple things. I have so much gear that I feel guilty not taking like, what 10 am I going to bring? Like, when did the last time I take this 10 out, or when did the last time I take these pair of shoes out? And those,
you're going to get jealous.
Yes. Exactly. Or I'm cheating on the one pair of shoes or the one sun hoodie. So it's really a thing that I go through. And, you know, Lori says that I'm dumb. Yeah. So the green pair, my very first pair, I threw hiked the Lone Star Hiking Trail. So they mean a lot to me.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of things. I'm going to put them in a shadow box.
Okay.
And but also I want to ink the bottom of them and kind of like put the tread on a piece of paper and then get that tattooed on my calf. my first pair of, yeah. So they're still here. I just took them out to South Llano. I didn't hike in them, but I drove in them. I wanted to bring them out, but yeah. So I have two pair that I've never hiked in yet, but I just, when they come out, the new pair, I buy it. And then at some point I'll use them.
Oh gosh, you're totally opposite than me. I am a minimalist. I'm like, what is the, like, I don't like extra stuff. And so, my husband is like, he likes all the things. I'd be like, oh my gosh, I think I'm with Lori.
Yeah, no, I have a hoarding complex, and then that I can't leave gear behind. So it's an issue.
Yeah, it was exactly like that.
So was there any special wildlife that you encountered on the trail?
On Eagle Rock? On that trail, there really wasn't. I saw some deer, bugs. I like to find bugs.
Yeah.
I'm probably not your typical girly girl. I'm not girly girl at all. But I like to find like beetles, and because I just think they're so pretty. Like, I like to look at moths and that kind of thing. But yeah, so there was like lots of spider. Oh, one thing I did find on there was a spider. I came across this gorgeous spider web that was across the trail. It was huge. It was probably like 5 foot in diameter, the spider web. And it was in the morning. So it had all these beautiful dew drops hanging from each of the little intricate pieces of the web. And then the spider, I don't even know what kind of spider it was still right there in the center of the web. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's so gorgeous. I took several pictures of that.
Yeah.
Because I just got like the water droplets on the web. I think that's one of my favorite pictures I've ever taken. Just because it was like, webs are so intricate. And then like the dewdrops, you could see reflections in the dewdrops. So that was like really cool.
You'll have to share those pictures.
Yeah, I'll send you that one. That's really cool.
So just kind of the plain old animals, nothing spectacular.
Yeah, plain old animals, nothing spectacular on that trail. Yeah.
And so kind of going back to the elevation, how did it impact you on the hike? And also like, how does it normally impact you?
So I take an inhaler, cause like I said, I have some asthma exercise onset, especially, but I think the elevation, if you don't have asthma, it probably would have been fine. And plus, if I would train, I probably would have been a lot more. <Yep. laughs>
The magic and words. So,
yeah. I just will get into kind of a mantra of like two deep breaths in, inhale, you know, in the nose and out the mouth. And that really helps me. And then like getting a system of breathing with my steps as I'm climbing helps me a lot. And then also I will like totally break into song. Like, I'll be singing out loud in the woods because I don't know. It just gives me like this extra little oomph to get up that mountain or whatever I'm trying to, whatever challenge I'm trying to accomplish at that time. I like to sing myself through it.
Yeah. I know. When I had the episode with Mr. Barry, and he was the gentleman that was lost at Guad, and just kind of going to what you're saying, seeing and stuff, like he knew he was in trouble when like the night before he was singing hymns and remembering scripture. And then, getting into that next night, he couldn't remember, you know, but he was using that kind of like you just to buy some time.
I'm just like, God, you're with me. You're beside me, holding my hand and pulling up and pushing me, and I'm like, I need you right now. So I will really depend on my faith a lot of the time.
Absolutely. But yeah, when he was saying that, like I was boohooing. Like
that, I know, was, I watched that. that was really sweet. I mean, like I don't even know the word I'm looking for right now, but I was crying during that episode too.
Yeah. plus one.
Yeah.
So how long did it take you to complete the loop?
So two nights I was on, and then I got there. I started hiking late afternoon, probably 2:33 o'clock the first day. Cause it's an 8 hour drive from where right. I'm at to get up there. And so I started hiking at 2 and I was like, I'm just going to hike until close to sunset. I like to be in camp before dark, especially being solo. I like to have my stuff set up in the, when it's light. I like to have my dinner eaten when it's light or just getting dark. So that way I can just get in my tent and chill for the rest of the night after dark. But so I hiked, 6 miles that first afternoon and hiked. I just found a campsite. There's campsites all, that's another thing, good thing about that loop is there's campsites all around it.
Are they designated?
Yeah, some of it, they have fire rings and stuff around them. But you can also, there's wherever you want to, pitch a tent is fine, but they already had some that were set up along the way. And so I just found one of those and stayed there. And it was at the base, basically at the base of that first mountain. I think it's Eagle Vista. And then the next day I did 4 of the 5 peaks, hiked in between the fourth and, or camped in between the fourth and fifth one. Got up the next day and finished out the hike. I was supposed to stay another night, but I was just in a rhythm and I was like, I'm just going to keep going. And so I just did the rest of the mileage that day. And Joe was like, are you sure? I'm like, I feel great. I'm just going to keep going. And then also I had come across, there was 3 young guys that had kind of, I intersected with. And so I was kind of I would get ahead of them and they would be ahead of me and they would be, so I didn't really feel, they didn't ever give me a bad vibe or anything. I just felt more safe if I wasn't right there with them.
Yeah.
And so for me, I was like, I'm just going to go ahead and finish out and get off trail because I didn't want to be with 3 young guys and then myself. I mean, I had talked to them. And, we were just sitting around at points where we would be at the same spot. But again, for my own feeling of safety, I wanted to not be on the same, timing as they were. So, because we were all right on each other's heels. So I just felt like it was better for me to finish. And I also just still felt great in the butt that I could push out more miles.
When you get on these types of trails, how important is it pacing yourself?
For me, it's pretty,
Are you a good pacer? So some people will hike and they'll go crazy and then they'll have to stop and take a break and then go crazy and stop and take a break or.
Oh yeah. No, I like to start out when I first start out, I'm going really slow, getting my feet under me, getting my legs. Mm-hmm. Ready, and I'll sit after an hour, 2 hours, and I'll take a 5 minute sit break, and then up and hike another 2 hours and take another sit break, or sometimes it's only an hour depending on how I'm feeling. But I do that a lot. Is I'll try to get at least an hour or two in before I stop.
Yeah,
but I can keep going, and then I usually you have to stop forever, so I take small little breaks in between each couple of hours and make sure I'm putting calories in as I'm doing that.
So yeah, that's important.
I'll eat a little snack every couple of hours as well.
When you look back at the camping spots, are there any camping spots that kind of stick out to you or kind of on the trail, it's that they're pretty much all the same. So like if someone wanted to go hike it, you would say, oh man, at mile marker 38, that's a spectacular view. Or is it all kind of pretty much the same?
Yeah, they all had beautiful views. I mean, they were all next to a creek or next to the river. There was one that I would not hike in, that I would probably not camp in, and that was, I think it's Winding Stairs, or Winding Staircase. It's like a pretty popular area, and a lot of day hikers will go, or people, I have noticed a lot of like deer camps and trust. I think a lot of like the locals come and like hang out and party in that area.
Yeah.
So for me, that would not be a place that I would stay the night at. But yeah, every one of the campsites I saw was amazing views, or, you know, right next to water, surrounded by beautiful trees, or on the tops of the mountains, even on the top of each peak. Mostly there was a campsite or two at the top of each. Okay. So I thought those were.
So I think I know the answer to this question, but for this hike, how did you prepare?
And that wraps up another exciting episode of the Trailblazing Texas podcast. We hope you enjoyed the episode today, and stay tuned for our next episode, where we will pick back up where we left off and guarantee to uncover many more hiking gems and share many more tips to enhance your experience on the trail. Until then, happy trails and happy hiking.